for.
All right. Hey, everybody. Who's glad you got to church today? Come on, man. Let's give God a clap. Let's give God a shout that we made it. You made it. You made it. That's like half the battle. Half the battle is being here, and you got here. And all of you who are watching online, so glad that you are joining us as well. Glad that you're with us. And I want to welcome you. As we're wrapping up this month-long prayer journey we've had at church. Today's day 28, the last day. Now, I'm not telling you to stop praying, everybody, okay? But it's just the last day in our prayer journey. And man, we've seen God show up to do so many things already. And again, my hope and prayer every single time we meet is that I know God wants to meet you, that you have met him, and that continues as we get into his word. And so here's what I want to do today. I just want to start out with a psalm. And so if you want to open there, you can go ahead. It's Psalm 145. And I'm not going to read the whole thing this morning, but I just want to read a couple parts of it. So let's read this. I want to read this here to start us off this morning. Here's what it says in Psalm 145. It says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he's made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell you of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So here's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to close out this series by talking about praying to have God's passion in us. We're going to look at just having an enthusiasm, excitement for the Lord. And here's the thing, like I could have gone to a ton of places in the Bible to start out this message, but I chose this Psalm, Psalm 145, for a few reasons. One is because David wrote this psalm. David wrote it, and it's also the last recorded psalm that David wrote. And actually, many scholars believe that these were the very last words that we have of King David and what he recorded. And all that to say, everybody, all that to say this, like for me, like if there is a time where people look at like my last known words, Annie Toole's last known words, man, that's what I would want them to say, and that is who I would want my last words to point to. Can I get an amen, everybody? Like, that's what I want to say. So this is how theologian James Montgomery Boyce puts it about Psalm 145. He said, Psalm 145 is a fit summary of all David had learned about God during a long lifetime of following hard after the Almighty. And here's the thing, everybody. So like when you look at the life of David, we're gonna study him in the spring. But if you just look at the life of David, here's what you'll find about David. You're gonna find a man who was faithful, but yet he was flawed, very flawed. He was the most successful king who ever existed in the world, but he gave all of his glory, all the glory to God. He always gave God the glory. And he's also a man who knew what it was like to be at the height of like utter devotion to God, and also experience like the complete depths of failure as a human being. But here's the one thing you cannot deny. One thing that you could not ignore about David was his constant and unashamed passion and zeal for God. God even said about David that he was a man after his own heart. And so that's what I want to talk about today as we wrap up this season of prayer. You know, I wonder if there's some of us here who could use a little more passion for God right now. And maybe you could use a little bit more enthusiasm. Maybe you've lost some of that in your faith journey, or maybe it's just been a while since you felt the kind of excitement that we just read about, like that that's what you would say, or that you've kind of been missing that a little bit. And you know that's what you want to have, but it's just kind of not there. And you know, there's actually a lot of words that we could use to describe the spot that people find themselves with God. You know, maybe a word that we would use is this word indifferent, right? That you're just indifferent. You're kind of not responsive like one way or the other. It's kind of feeling, you're not feeling good or bad. It's just kind of unmoved in a way. There's actually a word that the Bible uses for this, and it's a word that we wouldn't line up, that's what it's saying, but it's actually the word sloth. Sloth is a word described. Most people think that sloth means lazy, but it actually means more than being physical, like it's more than physical laziness. It's actually describing a spiritual disinterest that leads to the neglect of spiritual good and a love for God in your life. But the word that I want to use today is a word that's familiar to us. It's this word apathetic. Apathetic. Here's the definition of apathetic. Apathetic is a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. It's a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. So when it comes to a life with God, it's just a feeling of just kind of going through the motions of Christianity, but not like really having any passion. And there are Christians who would say that you have a saving faith. You're going to heaven, absolutely. But spiritually, there's just not a lot of excitement right now going on in your life. There's like just this lack of enthusiasm for God that you would probably say if you admitted that you were probably more bored than interested. And so I thought of an illustration to use to maybe get us to hone in on us a little bit. Like, so in my life, a good illustration of being apathetic would be like my relationship with golf, okay? Or lack of relationship, okay? So like 20 years ago, if you would have said, hey, Andy, do you golf? I would have said, yes, I golf. Like, I love going out and playing with my friends. Like, I go to the range, I hit balls and all that. Like, I wasn't a good golfer. But that wasn't the question, was it, everybody, okay? Like, I liked it. But then, like, here's what happened, everybody. See, like, after a few kids, and then after, like, some horrible rounds, and after a little bit of frustrations that I had, here's the thing, I just kind of stopped liking it. And then I just decided I don't have to like it anymore. It's okay. And eventually, like, I just altogether lost interest completely in golf. I just didn't have an interest in it anymore like I used to. So I would say, at best, I'm apathetic to golf. And so here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. See, my being apathetic to golf, right, has zero effect on my quality of life or in my ability to be a good husband, a good dad, and a good pastor. Like, it has not dramatically impacted my life, all right? But if you just follow me right here, but if I'm apathetic with my faith, see, that's different. Because it will drastically impact my life. Because here's what I want to say, gang. See, if what the Bible says is true, And if I look at what the Bible says about what the benefits are of following Jesus, then my being apathetic about that will absolutely impact my character and my peace and the wisdom that comes in my life. And then it will impact my ability to be a good husband, a good dad, and a good pastor. And see, what I want us to see today is that when we have spiritual apathy, and by the way, it comes across all of us, but when we have it and we don't do anything about it, what's going to eventually happen is we'll just take ourselves out of the game. And God doesn't want you out of the game. God doesn't want you to miss out on what could be in a life with Him. And there are symptoms that we have. Like, there are symptoms that we can point to if you have this going on. So let me ask just a few questions just to get us going on thinking about it, where we are and how we feel about this. So here's a couple questions. So is Sunday the only time that you're really giving yourself to really think about God in your week? That's a symptom. Do you avoid spiritual conversations because they either feel awkward to do them or just kind of unnecessary? It's like, yeah, I don't really need to talk about that. Has it been a while since you've had a significant conversation with someone where you share your faith with them? Like, hey, this is why I have hope. Like, this is why I have a joy that's different than anything else, like, kind of conversation. Do you find it easier to complain than it is to worship? And then here's the last one. Have you just found yourself settling? Like, just like, not very hot, not very cold. You just say, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I'm coming to church and it's not like I'm a deviant or anything. So I guess it's okay. Like, I guess I'm fine with this. These are signs of spiritual apathy, being spiritually indifferent to the things of God. And here's what I want to say. So if you've heard some of those, and you're like, ooh, those are kind of hit me a little bit, Andy. And like, you're wondering, man, does this mean that my faith is flatlining? And here's the thing. Like, if you're already wondering, if you're like, man, is my faith okay? Like, man, the fact that you're already worrying about it, like, or thinking about it that way, I just want to tell you, we've all had times like that. We've all had times where some of these have been true in our faith journey. And I'm just going to assume, because you're thinking that way and that you're here, that you don't want to be disinterested in God, right? So you're here. And so I just want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone in that. So it's not like totally like all is lost. But on the other side of this, so here's what I also want to say. Like, maybe for some of you here, like, you feel that drift. that you used to care deeply, but now you just shrug it off. And honestly, right now, you're already shrugging it off, what I'm saying and what the Holy Spirit is trying to confirm to you, and you're doing that. You're trying to shrug it off already. Some of you have already kind of checked out. And all I wanna say is, don't do that. Like, don't check out, because here's what I'm gonna tell you. If you find yourself there and you're already coasting in your faith, you will not like where it ends up. You will not like where it's at, because here it is, everybody. So I want to watch it out, because what will eventually happen is apathy will end up leading to atrophy. That's what will happen. It'll lead to atrophy. It's kind of like what happens, like if you ever get like a broken bone or like a major injury in your body, right? When you do that, like what you have to do is you kind of have to isolate the thing. You have to isolate your arm or isolate whatever is, and then that muscle, because you're not working it, it eventually like kind of, you're not working it out. It loses mass, you lose strength, right? There is a weakening effect of that muscle. And everybody listen, it goes the same way with your faith and spiritual apathy. This is what can happen. See, what will happen, this is what will happen, like over time, if you just don't do anything, if you just keep drifting and keep settling and keep saying, it's okay, everything's fine, I'm not a deviant or whatever. Like if you don't do anything, here's what's going to happen. Like hands down all the time, you will have a diminished ability to sense God's leading in your life. And listen, what's gonna happen, the result is not just predictable, it's almost guaranteed. The result will be that there will be a loss of God's peace and joy in your life, and your spiritual confidence and ability to love others will diminish. And then what's gonna happen is worry, doubt, and even anger will creep in, and then God will feel distance in your life. And then two things will eventually happen. Here's the first thing that will happen if nothing's done. You'll give up. You'll just give up. We see it all the time. Like a lot of people will just, you'll gradually give up on God. And so here's how it starts. You kind of start giving up on people. You give up on people. Then you just kind of give up on church, and then you'll gradually walk away from God. And here's the second thing that will happen is maybe you won't give up, but you will have a powerless life. That's another result when you don't do anything about it. So you may not give up, right? Like maybe you'll hang on, but what will happen is that you will live out of a powerless life. God, so what happens, again, we see this a lot, like then God will just become kind of like this routine, this spiritual thing you do, like this religious activity, and that's tragic. That's tragic. And it's tragic because like when you are walking with God in a powerless way, then what's gonna happen is you don't see God showing up. You won't be seeing God doing anything in your life. And what I wanna tell you is like, if that's the way it is, if you don't have that going on, then why wouldn't you be disinterested in a life with God? Like I totally get it. But man, I hope you know this, that is not how our God works. Amen, everybody, that is not how he works. Like he is a powerful, almighty God who can encourage you, and he can do massive, mighty things in you every day, and that should create a renewing passion with you every single day. Can I get a good amen, everybody? That's the God we have. Come on, let's get enthusiastic. Yes, that's who he is. So here's the bottom line. This is like, this is an all swim kind of thing. All of us, no matter where we are, because if you're not there, you might get there one day, and I wanna talk to all of us about this. And here's what I want to say. We don't ever want to settle for lukewarm faith, everybody. Do we? Do we? Come on, everybody. We don't want to settle for a lukewarm faith, right? And this is where I want to go for a few minutes. I want to dive into something that I found, and it's a word that I found in the Bible. And I love it because God keeps teaching me. And it's one of those words, like once you see it everywhere. Like it's everywhere in the Bible. And it's what I believe that God actually gave us as the cure to spiritual indifference in our faith. And it's actually what God says we need. And it's this word, if you want to write it down, diligence. He gives us this word, diligence. What is diligence? Well, here's what diligence is. Diligence is a persistent effort in doing something. So it's a persistent effort in doing something. But when we're talking about our faith and our life with God, here's what this is getting at. Here's what diligence really is. It's just one word, and I want you to write it down. It's a decision. Like diligence is a decision. It is a choice that we can make to move in God's direction. Here it is, everybody, especially when we're not feeling the desire to. That's what diligence is. So what I wanna say, it's a choice also. If this is the difference maker. It is a choice that you see people who are passionately following Jesus make all the time in their lives. It's this word, diligence. And it's all over the Bible, just a few places where it is. So in Proverbs 13:4, it says that the soul of the sluggard, I'm telling you, once you see it, you'll see it everywhere. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Peter says, hey, therefore, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. and your election. You need diligence for that. So, for if you practice these things, you will never fall. You need diligence for that. And then Hebrews, the writer says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. And I'm telling you, everybody, it's all over the place. It's in the book of Proverbs everywhere. In fact, it shows up more times than seven in the book of Proverbs, but seven times it specifically ties the word diligence to abundance and success in the Lord. So listen, you can't have spiritual success without diligence, all right? So what I wanna do is, I just wanna look at like three things that spiritual diligence does, just so we understand what it actually does. And we'll talk about how we get it if we're missing it or wanna find a little bit more in our lives. First thing that spiritual diligence will do, it'll bring focus. It'll bring focus. Like so it'll set our faith. Like, so what I would like, diligence is like, it'll get you out of bed in the morning with a focus and a plan to be on the things of God. And here's what I wanna tell you, man. I just wanna say, by the way, if you don't think about what you set your focus on, somebody else will. Can I get a good amen? Somebody else will set your agenda. Life will set your agenda. And the devil is gonna absolutely try to get a say in what you do. And he's gonna make something sound good because if you don't have spiritual diligence going on in your life and you're just drifting along, like you won't be focused, man, you're gonna drift away. So it brings focus. So it takes a plan. You gotta have this plan in place. And what I wanna tell you right now, like some of you right now are out of gas in your spiritual life, right now. And I'm telling you, you're out of gas because the focus isn't clear enough and you didn't aim yourself in the right direction. And so you're wore out and you're ready to give in. And I just wanna encourage you, don't give in. Don't give in. We're gonna talk about this today, but because here it is, because when you believe that God can give you the right directions, like it will bring more clarity and it'll bring more energy and you'll get back in the race, right? And this isn't about like having like this big, long, complicated spreadsheet of plans. Like it's not about that. It's actually like this one's more, diligence is more about like having these big mountains of faith. Like, okay, I got that mountain. It's like, this is the goal and I wanna head towards that big mountain in my life. And so you get to, because if you haven't spelled that out clearly enough, like where you're like, that's the big mountain, that's the big thing out, then what's gonna happen is if you don't have that, then you'll end up taking the best option today instead of the step towards where you wanna go, right? The little step where you wanna go. And what looks like the best option today, it could be a massive misstep to where you ultimately wanna go. So you need these big mountains. And listen, you need these big mountains in your marriage, don't you? I mean, at least I know I do. I mean, according to you, need them in your career. You absolutely need them in your faith with God to look at and remember, say, that's where I'm headed. So it'll bring focus. Here's the second thing it'll bring is endurance. It'll bring endurance. Proverbs 12 says this, it says, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Okay, so let me explain this one a little bit. So Solomon, who wrote this, like what he's saying is that like for the slothful person, they lack commitment to see it all the way through. Right, so he's like, all right, they killed a big deer and they start cooking, but they're only cooking like for what they need right now and they don't see it all. So they give up on the rest because it's like too much work. They're like, well, I ate for today and I'm good and it's too much work. And here, the rest of it gets spoiled. It's no good because they gave up on what should have been good meat to store. But what he's saying is the diligent man takes the time to roast it and smoke it. Can I get a good amen, smokers? Come on out there, yeah, smoke it. And make good on what the animal provided. Huge difference, right? Huge difference. And I just wanna share this. I think for a lot of Christians, I think we give up quickly because it's either too hard or we get bored. I just think we give up way too quick on the things of God. Like there's a lot of things that come to mind. Marriages come to mind. It's the biggest casualty there. It's really sad. Like people just, they give up too quick on this covenant they made with God because it gets too hard. It just gets too hard. And I'm telling you, I've seen marriages disintegrate over the pettiest things. People just give up on the process and a lot of times not even giving God a chance to speak in it through counseling and through working on things. And so here's what I wanna say, like there is nothing that will build your integrity and your character more than just finishing what you said you were gonna do, I'm telling you. And there's also nothing that will tear it down faster than not making good on it. So it'll bring endurance. Here's the third thing that it will bring, big one everybody, fulfillment. It'll bring fulfillment. So here's the biggest secret to those of us who have this exciting, passionate following of Jesus. And here's, a lot of people get this mixed up. Spiritual passion and enthusiasm is not about getting these quick bursts of energy and excitement. That is actually not what it is. It's actually about faithfully seeking him day after day and diligence telling us that we know it's over time is where we're gonna get this word fulfillment. It's not gonna be these quick things that are gonna get you there, man. It's fulfillment comes. You will get this harvest of peace and joy and spiritual strength, and this deeper sense of fulfillment comes when we lean into the things of God, knowing that it's consistency over time that will get us there. Look at what Proverbs 21:5 says. It says that the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But look, everyone who's hasty comes only to poverty. Okay, so those are the things that diligence can do in your spiritual life. And so here's what I wanna do. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip them to Romans chapter 12. Go ahead and get there to Romans chapter 12. And here's what I wanna do. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna be able to do and like what I can't do. I wanna get us at least like on the path to where we could get to this passionate pursuit of Jesus in our lives, of finding more passion for God. And why I'm saying there's things I can't do, because here's the thing. Like, I don't know exactly like where your journey is going and what it's gonna look like, or even what God has specifically given each of you. Like, there's hundreds of us here and there's hundreds of journeys going on, but here's what I can at least do. I can at least get you to the start of the path to get us going on these things that we're gonna see in Romans 12. And here's what I wanna tell you right now, some of you right now, I hope you haven't checked out yet. This is one of the hardest messages to preach, because I'm trying to preach about people who are sloughing this off. And I hope you stay checked in, because right now, like, there are some of you, you're like way far from the trailhead. And all I wanna do is just at least get you to the start. Because I think if you could just keep staying with me for at least the next couple minutes, I think you can at least get to the start of the path. So let's read this, Romans 12, and then we'll talk about three things that we could do to find this in our lives. Here's what he says. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, okay? So we're gonna look at three things that we could do. Again, if you find yourself there having indifference spiritually, or maybe one day you'll get there, I just want us to share this so we can get back on the path. First thing that we need to do, this is the very first thing we gotta do. You gotta follow convictions, not feelings. That's the first thing. You cannot follow your feelings. You gotta follow convictions and not feelings. So what Paul says in here in verse nine, he says, cling to what is good. All right, he says, cling to what is good. Okay, so here's the thing about your feelings. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they ain't so good, okay? Like I don't have to preach that to you, do you? Like, sometimes our feelings are not so good. You cannot trust your feelings to always be good, so you've gotta let something else lead you. And what he's saying is, no, God is saying, follow the convictions that I put in you. That's what you've got to follow, and then the right feelings will follow. And here's where everybody, like a lot of people, get it mixed up. Most people want the feelings to lead and then choices to follow. And can I just tell some of you, that's probably why your faith is not where you think it should be, because you're letting your feelings dictate your choices, and maybe that's not why your life is lined up the way you think it should, and you're not as stirred with the things of God as you think it should be. Because here's the thing, some of you need to hear this today. Like, you cannot wait for your feelings to come. You can't do that. Can I just testify to something about, like, in my own life, like, that sometimes you just have to do it in order to have the feeling? Anybody with me on that? Am I talking to anybody out there? Okay, like, you're awful quiet, you know? Like, I'm telling you, we can't let our feelings dictate our choices. And what I wanna say is, there is an ability for every single person here, every single one of you, there is an ability for you to have passion, enthusiasm, and excitement for following Jesus in your life. Like, now, your enthusiasm could look different than mine. It's not what you see on the outside that matters. We get that mixed up too, but here's the thing. God gave us all an ability, that passion for following his kingdom. So you are not missing a button that I have. Like, you've got the button, right? Everybody has the button, okay? But you need to get settled on this. Here's what you need to get settled on. You gotta get settled on the fact that feelings and emotions are not what those of us who are enthusiastic with God rely on. Like, it's just not. We get that messed up. Because I think people say, man, like, gosh, if I felt the same way Andy did, I'd probably be doing that too, right? Hey, listen, that's not what drives us, everybody. Can I get a good amen? That the feeling is not what drives us. Our feelings are not driving the stuff we do. No, we're doing the stuff that drives the feel, everybody. And I'm telling you, that's totally different. We follow our convictions and then our feelings will follow. How you feel is absolutely important. You can't let that lead you. Here's the second thing that we do. Focus on serving God. Focus on serving God. So in verse 11, Paul says, keep your spiritual fervor. When's the last time you used the word fervor, everybody? It's been a long time for me, okay? So I looked it up. I had to look that up. I don't know what it means. I ain't saying that word if I don't know what it means. Here we go. It's a good word. So when you look up spiritual fervor, literally in Greek, here's what it means. It means boiling. Super hot for God, okay? Now, not hot in looks, like hot, like, you know what I mean? And the word enthusiasm, think about this, comes from two Greek words meaning in God. So you got spiritual boiling and enthusiasm is in God. So follow me on this, all right? So this is what this is saying. This, when you get in God, you'll be enthusiastic. When you get in God, you'll be enthusiastic. So here's what this means, all right? Here's what this means. So it is not someone else's fault that you are unenthusiastic about God, because people are not the source of it. That's what this is saying. So you can't really blame people if you're indifferent to the things of God. And contrary to popular belief, it's not church's fault either, for the same exact reason. We are not here to be that for you. We are here to encourage you in Christ and point you in the right direction and remind you of who God is and what he can do. But listen to me, it is not up to us to get you fired up or keep you fired up for God. That's not on our job description. Do you know whose job description that is? It's God's. God is who does it, and it's him who wants you to have it, because he wants you to be passionate for him, because it's exciting. He wants you to have that. So follow me here. So, at the root of spiritual apathy isn't people, it isn't the church. Okay, so now there are two pieces left, you and God. And let me give you a little hint, ain't God's fault either, okay? He ain't the one to blame. And so here it is, everybody, listen. So if you're still checked in with me and you're there and you're like, okay, Andy, so you're saying it's me. Yes, I'm saying it's you. And you're saying, okay, so what do I do? What do I do then? Well, Paul tells you how you get out of that. And he says, you do it, he says it right here, through serving the Lord. You do it through serving the Lord. It doesn't say serving people. It doesn't even say come to church. He says, focus all your service, even in ministry to others, by saying, Lord, I'm really doing this for you. This is all for you. I'm serving you. And so if you are here and you've lost your enthusiasm, what do? He says, focus on serving the Lord. Get everything out of there. Get everything scooted out. All right, I'm gonna focus on serving you. And here's how you do it. This is the last thing. Find your thing to share. And this last part is important. Then share it. Share it. Paul says, share what you got to others. And this is what's so great about a room full of people who, again, I'm assuming you're showing up because you don't want to be indifferent with God, that you want to be excited for him. But this is what's so awesome. We are all unique in how God wired us and made us and created us, and we're all kind of moved by different things in the world. And so here's what I need you to understand. You've got to know what moves you. You've got to know what moves you, because here's what we know. This is what we know. The world is full of things that God wants us to bring Jesus and his light to. You hear what I'm saying? You're his plan A. He wants us to go every corner, nook, and cranny of the world with his light. And he's like, and I put something in you to go and shine my light at, right? So here's what I want to tell you. Find it. Ask yourself, what am I passionate about? Hey, what stirs me? What upsets me? And here's the thing, gang. The solution isn't to get the church to do it. That is not the solution. Or the solution is also not to get fired up because the church isn't doing it, right? Here's the thing. We do things, right? We can't do everything. We can't do everything. We can only do so many things. And it doesn't mean that we're not fired up about what you're fired up about, right? Or have a heart for what you have a heart for, but we can't help in that way. But here's the point. We can help in some way, but here's the point. You got to get in the game yourself in some of these things that God puts in. So here's the thing. Maybe some of you right here, maybe some of you are moved by the unborn. Maybe some of you are moved by human trafficking or fostering, adoption. Maybe you have a heart for the next generation, like you want to pour in to that next generation. Like maybe you have a heart for students or kids, or maybe it's missions going out into the globe, going out in the world and sharing the gospel of Jesus. I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. And for some of these things, we do have systems, like we do have programs in place. So get in with this if we have it going on, right? Get in with us with Foster West Virginia. Adopt a family, bring them meals, pray for them, right? Like get involved with Embrace Grace, where we come alongside unplanned pregnancies for moms, and we encourage them to give life, and that God values them, like to get involved with that, right? Just sign up to Shadow and Student Ministry. Good, there's nothing better than pouring your life and gospel into the next generation of kids, whether it's students or rich kids. Sign up for missions. And listen, if we don't have it going on, then don't feel like you have to start something. Like start with us and then we'll help you, or look statewide, look nationally. Point is, get going on something. Get going on something. Like you ever heard that, like you're not saved just to sit? I believe that, and I don't, like it's metaphorically, like it's okay to sit right now. But what it's saying is like, listen, man, like there's nothing more boring than just being passive in your faith. Because if you get going on what you're passionate about, you're gonna tap into what God made you to do, and there's nothing boring about that. Can I get a good amen? There's nothing boring about that, right? And so here's the last one. This is the bonus one. Oh, by the way, all four of these started with the letter F. I'm pretty proud of that. Here's the last one. Fellowship with us tonight at 6:30. Come on, everybody, like come to the night of worship. If you want to get stirred a little bit, man, come to the night of worship. Anybody want to testify to that? Come on, everybody. Like come to the night of worship, 6:30. So let me share about that a little. Thank you for the 10 of you who clapped for that. Here's what's gonna, listen, man, like, so just so you know, we're full. We are absolutely busting out of the seams on our nights of worship. They're amazing if you haven't come to one. We're gonna remove this entire middle row right here of chairs so that it's standing room only. And we're gonna have these sides are still gonna be there. So if you want to sit, I would recommend you get here at 6 o'clock, okay? Like, but we can stay in here and like, we're gonna have here, it's like, you know, worship mosh pit, everybody. So anyways, like we're gonna try to fit everybody in there. Man, don't miss that. Don't miss that. When we have something like that, man, I'm telling you, something stirs in us when we do that. Don't miss it tonight. Come tonight, it's 6:30, okay? And here's how I wanna end. Listen to me. You were created to be a part of something that changes the world, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is not boring, everybody. That is not, do you hear me out there? That's not boring. God created you with better things in mind. There is a higher mission. There is a higher experience that you can have, and there's a higher call. And when you're on that call, when you're finding these things of God to do, there's no way that you'll be indifferent to the things that he wants to do in your life. Can I get a good amen? Come on, everybody. And so I want you to join in on that. Don't just sit on the sidelines. There's so many people sitting on the sidelines wondering why they're not excited in the things with God. Man, get in the flow and see how fast you go. That's just what I want to encourage you to do. So prayer team can come forward. Prayer team, come forward. Listen, I want to tell you this real quick. I'm out of time, but man, we want to pray for you. Man, there's some of you here right now, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And you know what he's saying to you right now? He's saying, wake up, old sleeper. Get up. Stop sleeping. This is not the life that I have for you. And right now, like we wanna pray, if some of you, listen, the way to break free, let us pray for you. And man, I'll tell you, last week was an amazing thing where people just started standing up and getting prayed for. And I'm just gonna give you that invitation yet again. So let's all stand up. And so if you, like we got, these guys right here would love to pray. If you wanna come forward right now in this moment, come and we would love to pray over you. And man, we just wanna pray over you. And so come forward right now, don't wait. Like the Holy Spirit's telling some of you right now to come get prayed for and you're hesitating. Wake up, oh sleeper, wake up. Come get prayed for. That's what we want to do. This is who we want to be as a church. Let me pray. And keep coming forward. Keep coming forward. Come on. I don't care. Come on. You're not interrupting my prayer. Come forward. God, we love you. Thank you for this call. Thank you for this mission. You did not set us up to be bored in our faith. Man, you have an exciting, fulfilling life that we get to live with Jesus. And I want to be excited for you. I don't want to have a lukewarm faith. I'm not going to settle for it. And I will not let this church settle for it. I pray for these men and women in this room. I pray that wherever we find indifference, that we have the courage to speak it out, get prayed over, get prayed for, however we can get that out of us and allow your fervor to come. And I want to be boiling hot for you, God. And sometimes I just need help. I need encouragement. Thank you for encouraging us today. And I pray for us right now, man, just to not let us settle. I don't want us to be a church with lukewarm faith. So just help us, God. Help us to see, help us to help each other. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making all this possible. And it's in your name that we all pray together and we all say, come on, everybody. Amen, amen. Hey, come on, let's give God the highest praise one more time. Yes, for the passion, enthusiasm we have. Yeah. Come get prayed for. Not see you tonight at 6:30. Get here at 6 if you want a seat. If not, you'll be in the mosh pit. All right, we'll see you.